Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence and hear your voice in the scriptures. We confess with the psalmist that the earth is truly full of your mercy. We see it all around us in creation, in a general way, and we see it in a special way in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray tonight that you would teach us your statutes, that by your Holy Spirit you would instruct us in your word and in your truth, that we might know you better, that we might have a stronger relationship with you, that we might trust you and trust your word throughout all the ups and downs of life. We pray all this for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we have been talking about Revelation here for the last few weeks. We have covered general revelation, which is God speaking to humanity, to all of humanity through creation. God speaks every time the sun rises, every time the stars come out, so to speak, at night, the heavens declare the glory of God. So we talked about how God makes himself known through creation or through general revelation. So we've covered that one. And then last time we began to talk in more detail about special revelation. Now, what is that? Special revelation, we said, was how God in a unique way communicates his word and reveals himself to his people, to patriarchs, prophets, and apostles. And we compared these two, general and special revelation, and said that they're not against one another. They're not in conflict with one another. They both come from the same God. Both of these have their origin in God, and they complement one another. Now, sometimes in the history of the church, people have tried to pit these two against one another and say, well, really all we need is this, we need to get away from that. Or some people might be tempted to say all we need is this and we can ignore that, but they go together. Of course, they come from the same God, as we said, and they are both forms of revelation. Although we also said, in addition to that, that we need more than just what God has revealed of himself in nature, in creation. We need something special. We need God to go above and beyond, so to speak, in revealing himself to us. And one of the primary reasons for that is we're fallen. We're sinners. And what we do with what we see in creation is we suppress it. We take the knowledge of God that we have from creation, we hold it down and go and worship idols instead of the maker. We worship the creation instead of the creator. So we need God to reveal himself in a special way. The good news is God has done exactly that. He has revealed himself in a special manner. Last time we began to talk about these four characteristics here of special revelation. We talked about how special revelation is specific. If general revelation is general, right? You can see from creation that there's a creator, there is a God. He exists. You're accountable to him. In special revelation, what do you get about God? You get that God is a divine trinity. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You get more specific, detailed information. We also said that special revelation was selective. Okay, it's selective. What did we mean by that? We meant that God, in his divine purpose of election, chose to single out certain people in order to communicate with. Of all the pagans in Ur of the Chaldees, there was one that God singled out in order to reveal his plan of redemption and to bring his plan of redemption to fruition through. And who was that? That was Abraham, right? And we said that God does this according to his own sovereign decision. And we saw in that God's election and God's sovereignty, that God revealed himself in a specific and a special way to a selective group of people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, nation of Israel, apostles, etc. Now, we did this by looking at the book of Hebrews, the opening portion of Hebrews. So let's turn back there again tonight to Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Let's review just a little bit what we learned from Hebrews 1. Let's read it together again. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay, so the first thing that we noted about this particular passage of Scripture is that God has spoken. He is not silent. He was not silent, and he is not silent. God is a God who communicates. He speaks, and that's how we come to know him. We come to know him through his self-revelation, through him giving his word to humanity, and especially here, to his people. Look at how it's stated in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke. He spoke to the fathers, to the ancient Israelites in the past. Verse 2, hath in these last days done what? He's spoken unto us, and he has done so by his Son. The next thing that we noted about this passage is this selective part here that we just talked about. Who did God speak to in times past? Verse 1 again. He spoke in time past unto the fathers. We said the fathers was a way of talking about the people of God in the Old Testament period. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, prophets, and generally the nation of Israel to his people, his chosen people in the Old Testament. And we looked at some examples of God speaking to Abraham and God speaking to Isaac and then to Jacob. And that's what caused us to think about the selective nature of how God reveals himself in a special way to his people. All right, the next thing that we want to notice is through whom did he give this revelation in the Old Testament? End of verse 1 again. He spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The Lord used the prophets to convey or give his word to his people. Of course, there were other ways that God revealed himself, and we'll talk about some of those things in addition tonight, but let's just begin by thinking about what Hebrews 1:1 brings to our attention, and that is God giving his word, revealing his truth to prophets who then delivered that word to the people. Now, when we see the word prophets, we should think about something a little larger than maybe what we're used to thinking about. Maybe when you see the word prophets, you think about Isaiah or Jeremiah, and that's good, of course, they're prophets, but it's broader than that. The idea or the group of people known as the prophets are basically those who received the word of God and communicated it. So let me give you a few examples of people who were prophets that you may not have thought about them being prophets. Okay? Number one, Abraham. If you think about Abraham as a prophet. Well, the Lord himself in Genesis 20 says that Abraham is a prophet. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, the Lord says, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you shall live. So even Abraham is classified under this group known as the prophets through whom God revealed himself, made himself known. How about Moses? Now, we think of Moses as the great lawgiver, and he is exactly that. But Moses was also a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God, Moses says, will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. So Moses was also a prophet. How about David? David the great king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, also a prophet. Peter, in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, says of David, therefore being a prophet. So David is even classed as within this group of people through whom God spoke in the Old Testament period. Now let's look at one that, again, may have more readily come to mind when you thought of prophets. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah, and let's just look at an example, or use Jeremiah as an example of what Hebrews 1:1 is talking about. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is one of my favorite prophets. That's why I selected him. If you have a different favorite, we could, equally go to Isaiah or Ezekiel or Malachi or one of those others. but we'll use Jeremiah here. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, here we go, to whom the word of the Lord came. What is it that distinguishes a prophet from just your common Israelite, if you will? The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. The revelation of God. God's truth, God's message comes to the prophet. And here it comes to Jeremiah. Now let's drop down to verse 4. Then, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God has set apart Jeremiah to be a prophet. Jeremiah knows what that means. And so he says in the next verse, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. So what does it mean to be a prophet? It means to speak the word of God, what God has revealed to this person known as the prophet. And then next, the Lord responds to Jeremiah in verse 7. Says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. How about that? So God takes his word and puts it in the mouth of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is ordained a prophet. Now we'll have reason to come back to this text later on in our studies of the doctrine of Scripture. But what we're trying to show here is Hebrews 1:1 fleshed out or illustrated in the life of Jeremiah. What was Jeremiah? He was one of these prophets through whom God spoke. God took his very word and put it in the mouth of Jeremiah so that when Jeremiah went to speak to the people, and Jeremiah had a great popular message that just drew lots of people in and everybody was real excited about it. No. Jeremiah was very unpopular. They threw him in a pit as a reward for his prophetic ministry. But how does Jeremiah begin his sermons or his prophecies, if you will? You know the familiar formula. You know it from the King James Version, of course. Thus saith the Lord. So Jeremiah doesn't come and say, hey, listen, I've got some good ideas. I came up with some good opinions about how we ought to do things, how things ought to be done here in Jerusalem, whether we should worship idols or not. No, no. He comes and says, thus saith the Lord. This is a word, the authoritative word from God. Okay, so Hebrews 1:1 tells us that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Here's an example of that very thing in the life of Jeremiah. Okay, now back to Hebrews chapter 1 again. So we have God speaking in times past to the fathers by the prophets. And now let's consider something at the top of verse 1. God who at sundry times, as the King James puts it. What does that mean? Well, that's the Greek term, polymeros. And it can mean many parts or many times. The idea could be that God spoke at different times or at different periods of time. It could also mean that God spoke in many different portions. In other words, God spoke somewhat piecemeal. He gave his revelation piecemeal. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit to this person over here. Not the whole thing, but portion of it. Both of those things are true, and we can see those throughout the long history of the Old Testament. But the idea here is that throughout this long period that verse 1 is telling us about, from Genesis to Malachi, God is speaking in many different parts, at many different times, in a special manner. Now let's think about this for just a moment, and I'll give you a few examples of this very thing. Did God speak, for example, to the patriarchs? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, of course. The Lord appears to Abraham and speaks to him in Genesis 17. What about the time of the Exodus? Does the Lord speak to his people at that time? Yes, He shows up in the burning bush. He calls Moses over there, or he speaks to Moses out of the bush as Moses draws near, and the Lord speaks to him. How about the time of the conquest? Now, Chris is helping us go through the book of Joshua. And what happens at the beginning of Joshua? The Lord speaks. He speaks directly to Joshua and tells him, now is the time for you to arise and lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. What about the time of the two kingdoms? The northern and the southern kingdom. That's the time of Elijah the prophet and Elisha the prophet and others. God speaks through these men and reveals himself through them at that time. What about the time of the exile, when Israel is going to be judged and sent into captivity in Assyria and Babylon? Did the Lord speak? Yes, Jeremiah is an example of that. Jeremiah told them by the word of the Lord that judgment was coming. After the people came back from exile, they were restored back to the land of Israel. Did God speak to them at that time? Yes, he did. He spoke to them and told them to rebuild the temple and reestablish the worship of God. So you see in all those examples, the Lord speaking at different times to different people, giving his truth, his revelation, in somewhat of a piecemeal way to these different men and these different people within his people themselves, Israel. And that's what Hebrews 1:1 is talking about. God who at sundry times, at different times, and in many different parts, spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Right, now let's move on to that second portion of the beginning of verse 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners. Now that's an old King James way of putting it, which just simply means in different ways. God revealed himself at different times and in different ways to the fathers by the prophets. Now what we want to do with this is expand out just a little bit. We've talked about how God revealed himself through the prophets like Jeremiah. Now let's think about all the different ways that God made himself known and communicated his word. Okay, so we've got a list of seven things. Isn't that good? I got the magic biblical number there. We could think about other ways in which God has revealed himself, but these are the ones that I thought of that we want to use as examples of what Hebrews 1:1 is talking about. God, who at different times reveals himself in a variety of different ways, and here are seven different ways in which he did it. First of all, direct speech. Did God speak directly, audibly, to certain people? Yes. Yes, he did. In fact, one of the things that distinguished, made Moses special, was that God did not communicate with Moses the way he did with many others, through dreams and visions and things like that. How did God communicate with Moses? Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. The kids and I have been going through the book of Exodus in the mornings before we get started in the day, and there's a long section where Moses is just up on Mount Sinai, and it's just he and God, and the Lord is speaking to him. The Lord is telling him how to build a tabernacle, what to construct it out of, all these things, all these different things about the worship of God. But the Lord spoke directly to Moses, and we could find many different examples of that in the Old Testament about how God did that exact thing, speaking audibly and directly to people. Number two, God revealed himself in the Old Testament through theophany. You say, that's a mouthful. Yeah, let's think about what that word means. This is a combo word. Comes from the Greek language. Theos is the Greek word for God. Phanero is the Greek word for to show or to appear, to make manifest. So a theophany is a what? It's a manifestation of God. It's God showing up in a visible form. It's the invisible God taking on a visible form and appearing to man in order to communicate, in order to reveal himself. and you think of an example of when God did that. Well, this is the one that we used last time, Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord himself shows up at Abraham's tent and tells Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a baby. If you remember that. Well, the Lord showed up at that time in a theophany, in a visible manifestation of his person, of himself. Okay, so that's an example of that. Number three, dreams. God revealed himself many times in the Old Testament through dreams. What examples can you think of God speaking through dreams to his people? I thought of Joseph and Pharaoh. So here Joseph is in Egypt, and God gives Pharaoh this dream, and then the Lord reveals the interpretation of the dream to Joseph. And Joseph says to Pharaoh in Genesis 41, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do." So what was the Lord doing? He was communicating, and he was doing it through a dream. And again, we could look at other examples of that. Number four. The Lord revealed himself in the Old Testament through visions. A vision is an experience in which the person is transported, if you will, supernaturally to see certain things, to see things that God wants to reveal to them. The book of Revelation has many examples of visions. But thinking about the Old Testament, in the Old Testament you might think of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's another one of my favorite books because there's all sorts of strange things that happen in Ezekiel. God often will take Ezekiel and transport him, sometimes by the hair of his head, will transport him from one place to another through means of a vision. And this is yet another way in which God reveals himself. Numbers 12 says, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and speak unto him in a dream." So there you find those two avenues of God making himself known, revealing himself through dreams and visions. Number five, events. God reveals himself through events, or we might say through his works, through what he does. Now let's look at this one together. This is Exodus. Keep your finger in Hebrews 1. And let's go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. Here the Lord is speaking to Moses. And he says, beginning in verse 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." What's he talking about? He's talking about the Exodus. He's talking about all the plagues that he's going to bring on the Egyptians, and then he's going to lead them on an exodus out of the land. Verse 7, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." Here we go. "And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." God bringing his people out of the land of Egypt, this great act that we call the Exodus, was a means of revealing himself to the people. He said, "Once I do this, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. You're going to know that I am the one true God." So God reveals himself through events, through his acts or his works. God also reveals himself, number six, through miracles. Now, we're in the book of Exodus, so we can stay there for this one and just turn over one chapter to chapter 7. Chapter 7. And let's begin at verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. Thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Okay, what is that? That's revelation. That's God revealing himself to the people so that they what? Know that the Lord is God. Okay, now how's he going to do that? Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. How are they going to know that the Lord is God? Miracles. God is going to do this miraculous thing by turning the water of the Nile from water to blood. And he says, when I do that, you're going to know that I am the Lord. It's another way that God revealed himself in a special manner. Number 7, angels. God communicated his word specially, distinctly, through angelic beings in the Old Testament. We could think of a number of different examples of this. I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. The two angels come into the city. Right there at the evening, they meet Lot out at the gate. You know the story. They come in with Lot. Lot brings them into his home. And they tell Lot what? They reveal God's plan to Lot. They tell Lot, Lot, the Lord is going to destroy this place. You've got to get out. What is that? It's revelation. And it's revelation through angelic beings. Okay, so I hope that gives you a flavor. You say, Pastor Nick, I knew all that already. Okay, I know. But it's a good review, right? For you to see all the different ways, the diversity in which or by which God made himself known during the Old Testament period. And it's what Hebrews 1:1 was talking about. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in different ways, all of this, God makes himself known in the Old Testament period. Now, considering all these things brings us back to the third characteristic of special revelation, and that is that it is supernatural. Now, what is something that's supernatural? It's something that is super or above, beyond nature. It goes above and beyond, we might say, general revelation. God goes above and beyond and communicates in a special, supernatural manner with his people. So special revelation is supernatural revelation. It's God speaking directly. It's God breaking into the world, so to speak, his world, to speak through dreams, visions, angels, appearances of himself in all these different ways. Now, we live in a very scientific and supposedly enlightened time. People typically think about natural processes, how the world works, how things operate, and they think that all this stuff we just talked about sounds like legends and fables. Sounds like fairy tale type stuff. God appearing to someone and speaking to someone, or an angel showing up at your door to tell you a message from God. And so some people, they don't like that sort of thing, because whether they know it or not, they're naturalists or they subscribe to naturalism. So I don't know what that is, Pastor. Well, that's just basically the idea that really nature is all there is. The only explanation for things is the natural way the world works, and that's about it. God doesn't, if there is a God, according to the world, if there is a God, he certainly doesn't do all these things that the Bible says he does. Just think about the weather. How do people explain the weather nowadays? I think it's different from the way people would have explained the weather a long time ago. Don't you? People don't talk about God doing this or doing that. I mean, I'm not talking about you guys. I know you know the Lord's in charge of the weather. But I mean, just generally speaking in the world. When you turn on the Weather Channel or you look at the news or something like that, they're talking about the high pressure system and the this and the that and all this sort of thing. And there's no mention of who? There's no mention of God. Now, I'm not saying there's no such thing as a high-pressure system or anything like that. But who's in charge of all that? Who controls all those things? Well, the Lord does. The Lord is in charge of all those things. So even though people tend to think in this naturalistic kind of way that this is all there is and this is all we can expect, no, the Bible tells us over and over again that the Lord has revealed himself in a supernatural way, in a way that goes beyond the processes we see in creation. It goes beyond something that can be measured in a laboratory by people in white coats. So special revelation is supernatural revelation.